Houston Station. Good morning, Jackson 2. Cold Atom Lab.
Jack, good morning. Huntsville's with you on 2 for Cold Atom Lab.
Hey, Huntsville. Sorry about that. Two questions this morning. First one should be simple. On step 1.2, the pump controller, the ion pump controller serial number 2, is not on overhead 2, lab overhead 2. It's on port 2. I'm pretty sure this is the one that you guys want. It's the one connected to the science module that's installed in port 2. Just confirm that that's the ion pump controller I'm working with this morning.
Abram, Jack, you have a good understanding.
Okay, next question is in step 1.8. The UOP power PSA cable is not plugged into the PS120 junction box, right? They're different plugs. Just wondering what's going on with that.
Jack, we copy in step 1.8 that PSA cable is not plugged into that junction box. Give us a minute to check on that.
Stand by.
Jack, Huntsville's back with you on 2 for Cold Atom Lab. Clarifying questions.
I'm with you, ma'am.
Jack, are you saying that that cable will not fit into that junction box, or it is not plugged in at this moment? Step 1.8 will be plugging it into the junction box, so we're a little confused.
Yeah, both sides of the UOP power PSA cable are kind of the NASA standard twist connections with the pins. And the PS120 junction box is a normal three-prong outlet. So you just can't plug one into the other. I don't know if there's an adapter, or I think usually these UOP power PSA cables go straight into a UOP, not into a PS120 junction box. I'll hold the cable up in front of the camera here in the lab.
We copy all. We'll be looking in that lab cam. We copy that field of view. Thank you.
Houston, Chris on 2. I was wondering if there's any issue with me getting started with my IMV flow measurements a little early.
No issues.
Sounds great. Thank you. And I'm still stationed from Jack. Just to make, maybe I got my nomenclature off here. I've got a 120 junction box that matches the serial number 1020. What I'm calling that is a 120 volt DC to 120 volt AC inverter box. Is that what you guys are talking about, or is there a different box that you guys are talking about? Step 1.8.
We're checking. All right, Jack, Huntsville's back with you. We're looking for the junction box, not the AC inverter, if that makes sense.
Okay, I'm going to hunt around for a PS120 junction box, serial number 1020.
Hey, for a minute, if it helps, that junction box should be a black box. Station Huntsville on 2 for Jack and Cal, help.
Huntsville, Jack's with you. Always ready for some help.
All right, for this mystery, the AC inverter and the junction box both have serial number 1020. So if you're at the AC inverter, you should be able to trace it back to that PS120 junction box. Currently, that junction box is plugged into switch 1 of the AC inverter. How copies? Go back. The AC inverter is plugged into the junction box.
Okay, I copy all that. I am looking.
Hope this helps.
Soul Station found the PS120 junction box, port deck 3, and I'm looking into whether it's kind of velcroed and attached, wires are kind of attached down in there, so I'm going to see if the wiring will go that far, if I have to move it back to port deck 2.
We copy all on quick S-band handover here.
And so, station from Jack on 2 for power, KU power supply location.
Go ahead on 2, Jack.
I'm looking at step 1.11 to plug it all in and coil the excess cable. There's a lot of cables and a lot of stuff down here in port deck 2. So I guess my question is, where do you guys recommend this KU band power supply going, and is it here for a couple days? Is it here for a couple weeks? Is this a 12-month thing, or what's the long-term prospects of this?
We're checking. Jack Huntsville's back with you on two for answers.
Huntsville Jack, ready.
Jack, KU band power supply will go to lab port deck 2, as you said. If it is a little too tight there and you need to move it around, just let us know where it ends up at. As for how long, no longer than a week, but if you do see any issues with that, we just need that PS120 until after DNA nano ops later this afternoon, so we can make some things happen if it's easier for you and the crew.
Okay, I think that will, I can find a spot for it for a week. Yeah, I think if it was going to be here for a year or months and months, I think we'd spend a lot of time trying to get it in the right, exact right spot with the wiring, because it is a mess down here in Port Deck 2. But for a week, I think I've got a good spot for it, and I think it's going to end up on Deck 2.
We copy all, and it'll be at the Deck 2. Thank you.
And Chris on 2 for VelociCalc.
With you on 2, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, it looks like VelociCalc 1001 is set up to do a 20-second measurement average instead of the normal 5-second measurement averages, which is what I think the procedure is also calling out for. Do you mind if I change the setting in the VelociCalc to go back to a 5-second average?
Yes, sir. Please change it back to 5 seconds.
Okay, I will do that. I think I know how to do that.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris. If you'd like it, we have a procedure step for you to change that setting on VelociCalc.
Huntsville Station Jackson 2 for file config of this.
Huntsville's with you on 2.
Okay, I got a good green indicator light, step 1.16, so everything seems powered on. Just so you got the final config down there, the ion pump controller, serial number 2, which is powering the science module that's installed in the port 2 rack. We're not powering it, but providing, doing its thing, as it were, is that thing is located. So ion pump controller serial number 2 is located at lab port 2 on L2 drawer front. It is plugged into the KU power supply. The KU power supply is located at port 1, and the PS120 junction box is in its original location at port deck 3.
We copy all. Thank you for those final consents.
Houston, Chris on 2 for IMV measurements.
Go ahead on 2, Chris.
Hey, apologies. I did copy your last about setting. I had the settings all set. I was just up in the middle of the vents, so I couldn't call you back. I've got that task finished, and I got some time left, so I wanted to, I know these can sometimes be finicky measurements to take, so I wanted to just give you guys the values I got and see if you needed me to double-check anything.
Sounds great. We'll take it.
All right. For table 5, for node 3 overhead aft 4, I got a measurement of 640 feet per minute. Then for table 6, for overhead aft 3, for Papa 1, I got 299er. Papa 2, 243. Papa 3, 329er. And Papa 4, 394.
Okay, we copy all, Chris. We'll take a couple minutes to process, make sure those are good numbers. And while I have you, I think Optimus is down. We're not updating Optimus down here, so I'll take a serial number if you've got it for that probe.
Yep, the probe serial number was 1022.
Perfect. Thank you much. We appreciate it.
Copy all, yeah, and I'll just add, like, I think for those measurements of the overhead aft 3 behind the brine processor, I mean, very small changes in your hand position can lead to, like, changes of 100 feet per minute. I think just the measurement, it's just a limitation of using the VelociCalc in this type of a measurement for that type of a place. But, yeah, we're going to have an inherent uncertainty of 100 feet per minute on those measurements.
Yep, understood. We appreciate you doing the best that you can.
Yep, absolutely.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris. We are happy with those VelociCalc numbers.
I am happy that you are happy. Thanks very much for checking that.
Huntsville Station Jackson 2, Lab Cam 2 is configured. You guys are welcome on board for the over-the-shoulder view while I finish field gather.
Jack, that field of view looks great, and your PD is available on Safe to Ground 4 whenever you are. Station Huntsville on Safe to Ground 2 for Chris and Playhab.
Chris is with you on 2.
Chris, quick handover, and I'll meet you on the other side.
Sounds good.
And Chris, back with you on two.
Chris is with you on two.
We see you have your plant hab audit active, which is great. Our only stipulation is that you do not complete step 7.1 through 7.16. All the items listed here you'll need for your plant hab air filter removed. How copy?
Copy all, and that makes total sense. I figured I just had some time, so I'd get ahead. I'm also happy to start the plant hab remove early if that works for you guys. No preference on my end.
We're still gathering the team to complete that air filter remove activity, but as soon as we're ready, we'll let you know, but no worries going on with your audit. One more note for your audit. We are running low on bubble wrap, so as you run into bubble wrap, do not trash it. Just save it so we can replenish our supplies.
Absolutely. Believe me, I am a hoarder of bubble wrap and have been since SpaceX 33, so we're saving every last scrap we can.
Chris, back with you after that quick handover, but we love to hear you're saving the bubble wrap. Thank you so much.
Sure thing.
Phoenix Station, Sophie on 2 for Lumina.
Munich is with you on 2, Sophie.
I just wanted to have your go for Lumina activity.
All right. Before we give you a go, we're actually having trouble with our Optimus updating on ground, so I just wanted to confirm that the Lumina reboot activity was completed as scheduled.
Yes, affirmative. As scheduled and all nominal.
All right, perfect. Then you have a go for the Lumina data transfer.
Okay. And meeting from Sophie, I just opened IPV on the SSC, so should I use the SSC for the entire procedure?
That is affirmative.
Okay, thanks. Munich, Sophie on 2 for Lumina.
Munich is with you on 2.
Step 11.15 parameter settings is complete. And just a quick note, which is of no importance, but just report on step 11.8. The message that appeared was not success parameters have been saved, but it was settings updated. But, I mean, it was green, and obviously it was a successful update.
Copy all, Sophie. Thank you for the info.
Chris on 2 for PHAB audits, 4.07.
Council Booty on 2 for 4.07.
Hey, so I found a bag that is called Harvest Kit in this Plant Habitat 05 CTV. However, the contents aren't quite matching. There is no bag Bravo inside it. There is like ProSan wipes, but the serial number is 112 instead of 113. And there is a handle in there, but the handle is labeled KFT handle as opposed to RNA. Oh, sorry, I guess that is the same. I'm just wanted to double check that this is all. It seems like the right bag. I just wanted to double check because I don't see a bag Bravo.
Chris, we're checking.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just to go back, that actuator handle, it says KFT actuator handle, not KFT RNA later, and it has a different part number.
Could you give us that part number, Chris?
Yep, the part number is 1023-MIC1051-09.
We copy and we're still checking.
Munich from Sophie on 2 for Lumina.
Munich is with you on 2.
On step 16.4, there were 28 files copied to the correct location.
Copy, Sophie. Can you confirm that you have copied the three different types of files?
Oh, okay. There is the data IR, Viz, and maybe. Okay, I get it. I'll let you know the final number.
Thank you, Sophie.
Station Huntsville on 2 for Chris in Flint Heads.
Go ahead on 2 for Chris.
Chris, we still don't have an answer for you, but we are stepping into a 20-minute LOS. So when we get back, hopefully we'll have one for you. I just don't want to leave you hanging.
I appreciate it. I'll just leave this bag for now. Yeah, it's like kind of close, but it's not exactly the right contents. And there's a bunch of serial and part number differences, so I just wanted to check on those with you. But I'll stand by on it for after the LOS.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We were not expecting this at the moment, but we'll let you know if we do.
Thank you.
Station Huntsville, fifth to ground 2 for Chris and Playhab.
Chris is with you on 2.
Chris, for the audit that you reported earlier, that is the right bag, and everything you reported is expected. But we are expecting a few more items in that bag. If you can confirm that these were not in that bag, that would be 3 ProSend wipes, 3 extra bags of ProSend wipes, and then the KFT RNA later.
And so the only thing that is in this bag is a bag of ProSend wipes, serial number 112, some washcloths, a bag of several washcloths, and this and the handle that I approached, reported earlier, the KFT actuator handle with that part number, and then some couple empty Ziploc trash bags. So those are the only items that are in that bag right now. There is also an additional bag that appeared elsewhere on the stow track that just had a washcloth and a used washcloth and a used wipe.
We copy all and thank you for that audit. We are happy with the contents in that bag, and you're going to press in stow track within that step. As well, whenever you're ready to start your plant hab air filter remove, we are ready to support you.
To that, yeah, I will just finish up this bag and then move over to the next app. It was a bag of DZK wipes, which I'm assuming we can just trash or repurpose.
Chris, could you repeat your last? It came in a little scratchy.
Copy. The only other contents of that 1.0-5388 was a bag of 8 DZK wipes, which I'm assuming we can just trash or repurpose.
Affirm. That's good work.
Okay, I'll fix. Chris on 2 for Plant Hap. The cameras are set up, and I'm getting into the desk. Well, welcome on board.
We have those views, and we're checking if they're good. We have one small delta for your procedure today in step 5. We will not need you to wrap the bottom pan in bubble wrap. How copy?
Copy. No bubble wrap for the bottom pan in step 5. That's great.
Station Huntsville on 2 for Chris and Playhab. No response required. Both field of views look good.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for Playhab.
Huntsville City on 2.
I've just removed the air filtration assembly rails, and I had a question before I wrapped up in bubble wrap. I was wondering, would it make sense to just put the air filtration assembly, like, drawer back in the rails and, like, wrap that all as one unit to send back? It seems like that would be safer for the rails and also would conserve some bubble wrap and wouldn't hurt anything. What are your thoughts?
Chris, that's a great idea. We'll take you up on that.
All right. In work. Huntsville, Chris on 2 for PHAB.
Huntsville City for PHAB.
Quick question. I see that I'm supposed to take a 4.0 CTD and put it in the space, but there's like some rails sticking out in the middle of the space, and I'm not sure that a 4.0 will fit nicely in here with these rails in here. I'm not sure if you can see what I'm pointing at on the video feed. Just wanted to ask about that.
Yeah, we see those rails in the field of view here. Give us a minute to talk it here on the ground. Thank you. Chris, I'm still with you on 2. We're following along in the video, still talking it, but that does look pretty tight.
Yeah, Huntsville, Chris on 2. I mean, I can put the CTV with its current contents, like kind of in between those rails, and try to tuck it in so that it doesn't block the GEM INV flow. But it's definitely, you know, we definitely can't fill this 4.0 up. It looks like we could maybe fit maybe a 2.0, but not even a full 2.0 in between these rails.
We copy you on, still checking.
Copy. And then 2 more data points, Huntsville, for you from Chris. One is that there's this enclosure on the left-hand side that would I think, prevent a full 4.0 from fitting in here. And then the second data point is these rails look super easy to remove. I could just take them off and, you know, Kapton tape them in, inside this enclosure on the left if you wanted to have, make more space.
Thanks for those data points, Chris. We're still talking it, but no go on removing those rails as of now. So thank you.
Chris copies all, and I'm standing by.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Chris and Plahab.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for PHAB audits.
We're with you on 2 for audit.
Yeah, I'm looking at step 6, decimal 06 in the stow track, which is saying for me to trash the hardware bag. And this hardware bag has a fair number of things in it, and I just wanted to double check that that was expected. It's got some wastewater bags and some wastewater syringes in it.
We're checking on that, Chris, but while I have you, sorry I left you hanging for your 4.0 question in the PHAB facility. As of now, that 4.0 can stay inside that facility until later. We need some daytime support to help us find a forever home for the CTV, but we'll make sure to have an answer for you by even DPC. How copy?
Copy all, and I think that makes sense. And, you know, given the contents of the 4.0, it can totally stay there for now. I just don't want us to think that we can add more things to that 4.0 and that it'll work in that space.
We copy all, yeah. We want to make sure that we're not needing to add anything else because that's a pretty full space.
Yep, absolutely. Cool. Thank you very much. Appreciate the help.
Absolutely. I'll give you a call once we have the 6.06 answer for you.
And I've got a couple other questions on the bag. I can write them off to you now or come back in a little bit.
We are all ears now, Chris.
So one other delta is there is a step 6.19 fan. It's calling out fan serial number 2. I found fan serial number 12, so serial number 12 in here, and just wasn't sure whether that was expected or not. Barcode does match, it's just a different serial number.
We copy serial number 12 instead of serial number 2, and we'll check on that one.
Copy. And I'll just need to organize myself here, but I'll have a couple other questions shortly.
We copy all.
So Chris on 2 with some more audit questions.
Huntsville's with you on 2, Chris.
All right, looking at stow track step 6.15, I found 4 of these call form detection packets in there. I just wanted to confirm that I should trash all 4 of them.
Affirm, you can trash all 4 of them.
Copy. And then in 6.16, I found 2 bubble bags that had the same labeling of CO2 bottle shipping attachment, and both of them had vent valves in them. Wanted to confirm I should trash both of those.
We are checking on this one, but I have an answer for an older one, but I can also receive a new one. Dealer's choice.
All right, I'm ready for the answer for the older one, and I'll have some new ones shortly.
For your question about 6.19, the fan serial number being 12 is expected.
Copy. 12 is expected and will be trashed.
Good read back, and I'm all ears for your next question.
Copy. My next question is about the maintenance kit in 6.07. And the question is the subsequent step of 6.08, it expects quantity 3 ProSan wipes to be in there, but there's only quantity 1. There's only ProSan wipe serial number 1 in there. And then this is supposed to go into the Ziploc bag, contents bag Bravo. We never found that contents bag Bravo. That was supposed to, I think, be in that that prior bag that didn't exist in the harvesting bag. And I think I put that whole harvest bag in the new CTD, and was just wondering if this ProSan wipe could go in that location. I also wanted to confirm that it looks like a brand new fiber optic cleaner and a brand new fiber optic wand are the items remaining in the maintenance kit, and I wanted to make sure that those should be trashed.
All right, let want to make sure that I'm tracking. For the proton wipes, those can go back in the harvest kit. And then you have fiber optic wand and cleaner, and checking that those should be trashed.
That's a firm, and yeah, it was only quantity one of the proton wipes, not quantity three. And the only serial number we have is 001, so I think three and four are the other two ones called out that should have been there, and those were not found there.
We copy all. Yeah, that'll go back in the harvest bag, and we're checking on your fiber optic wand and cleaner question.
Copy. And Huntsville, Chris, on two. One more question, and I guess I might have gotten things confused a little bit here, but I found this harvest kit in 4.08, but it was missing bag Bravo, and I guess the thing I wanted to confirm is it looks like actually the bag Bravo contents go into the OHALO bag, but then the remainder of the harvest kit goes to the veggie hardware CTV, and I just wanted to make sure, like, since I only found one bag, I just wanted to make sure, like, what parts should go and go where. Right now I have a harvest bag with some washcloths and lens cloths, and then the KFT actuator handle and some ProSan wipes in it.
And we're checking on that as well, Chris.
Thanks. Sorry, one other thing to add to your list for Huntsville for the PHAB audit. Also in 1.04385, I found a wastewater bag, serial number 6, and I didn't see that on the list and was wondering what to do with that.
We copy. 1.04385 has a wastewater bag, serial number 6. We'll track this and hopefully we'll have a list of answers for you shortly.
Yes, sorry for so many questions.
You're good. We love this. This is fun down here. We love a science-filled day.
Absolutely. Huntsville, Chris on two. One other question for you. In this 1.04385, I also found a Ziploc bag labeled plant half vent valves, GMT 355 and 150, and it contains two of those vent valves, similar to the ones that were in bubble bags that I'd asked you about previously. So I was wondering what to do with these guys.
We copy all, add it to our list.
Let's fill Chris on two for PHAB audit to add to your list.
We're ready, Chris.
All right, I'm looking at steps 6.10 through 6.12, the water module maintenance kit, serial number 2. I found this item, but it does not contain a water refill bag. The item in 6.11 was not found in there. And then I just wanted to double check the remaining contents of this bag is a biocide syringe, a wastewater syringe, and a biocide bag. I wanted to just confirm that those all go into the trash in successful 1-2.
The copy didn't find the water bag, and affirmed those were all good to be trashed.
Okay. Thank you.
Houston Station Sophie, 2 for Stowich.
With you on 2, Sophie.
This is my previous activity ended a little bit early. I'm starting the Cygnus cargo out, and I just wanted to. I had a little question for step 92. So it says that we have two, only 4.0 trash bags, but we actually have 3. So I just wanted to be sure that ground tracks this as well. And I'll put all the details, but it seems important to me because then for the volume of Cygnus, it's important, I think.
Okay, yep, we copy that, Sophie. Thanks for the info. We will make sure to note it.
Thank you.
Huntsville, Chris, on 2 for one additional stow track item for PHAB audit from 1.04385.
We are ready for 4385.
I found, I think I've gone through that bag, and there's 2 extra items that I guess weren't expected to be in there. There's a Ziploc bag labeled Plant Habitat Science Carrier Microcontroller Power Caps, and it looks like it contains 4 caps, as well as a section of tubing with like a QD on one end and a lure lock on the other. And then the other item is a Ziploc bag that looks like it contains a green ratchet strap that says 4 I can't read the next word for something cover.
We copy all. Chris, I'm back with you.
Looks
office
like
two.
It might say 4GBM or 4CBM cover is my best guess.
We copy all, and you are good to trash both of those items.
Copy, thanks. Huntsville, Chris on two with a big picture plant hab audit question.
We are ready, and I promise we haven't forgotten about you. We are just checking our list twice.
Not at all. I appreciate it. My big picture question is my gathered veggie hardware 1.0 CTV is starting to get pretty full. And my big picture question is a lot of the items that I put in that bag are basically bags that are full of water. Like I'm guessing they're old or used in a prior experiment bags for watering plants. But, you know, there's kind of several liters of, like, water in those bags. Is that the goal to save these bags, or are we eventually going to try to, like, waste and reclaim that water? Or I was just wondering the big picture, because the CTV is getting kind of full, and I was just kind of wondering.
You copy, Chris. Give us 1 minute to check.
Thanks.
Stand station on two for hatch cleaning and installation.
Stay on two, Jessica.
I am in step 1.13, and I'm inspecting the bulkhead surface, the ceiling surface. It looks pretty clean. There are a few areas where it looks like just a really, just a short wipe, like maybe with a slightly damp lint-free paper or something would just wipe that away. It's maybe even just a dry one would do the trick. So I'm just looking for guidance on that, and if you want photos before and after or just after.
We'll just take the photos after, Jessica, and if you scroll down to 1.15, it'll have some instructions on cleaning those funky spots you found.
Okay, yeah, I was just going to say I think that actually just vacuuming might even be enough. So it kind of lists it in opposite order. Can I start with the vacuum, or do you want me to just go in the order of that step?
Jessica, if you think vacuuming is enough, then that works for us.
Okay, I'll try that first and take a look, and then I'll see if there's anything else. Thanks.
Sounds like a plan.
This is Station Symphion 2 for Sowich and Cygnus.
Go ahead on to Sophie.
So those will be tricky questions, so I'm not expecting the answer right now, but I am kind of, they kind of prevent the loading of the end cone with JSVs. Let me explain to you. There is one big item, which is called Shrek Evaporator in Kappa 6, and if I load too much the end cone, then this item will be very difficult to remove, so I was wondering if an upcoming step would have us remove this. The second question is, in Starboard 6, there is this giant 10.05044, which is full of foam. It only contains foam. And same, I was wondering if this is the final location, because it has an impact with the loading of the end cone. So tricky questions.
And Sophie, those are great questions. I don't have an ISO on board quite yet, but we'll try and get you some answers after midday meal.
Yes, I completely understand, and I was asking those questions so that we can have them before the end of the day, because I have another Cygnus Cargo Ops block, and you'll have plenty of time to figure this out. Thank you.
Station Huntsville, that's around 2 for Chris and P-Head.
This is with you on 2.
Chris, for your question about those bags full of water, other payloads like Ohalo have claimed these bags of water so they can use them for their experiments. So we're going to save them and so we can reuse them in the future. How copy?
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. So we will save those bags of water.
Stay firm.
Phil, Chris on 2, while I have you, question for step 7.02. There was an EST bag of water refill syringes, but it actually had 4 syringes in it. Serial numbers 4, 5, 6, and 7. 6 wasn't on the list in Snowtrack. Do all 4 of those go into the 1.0 veggie hardware, or do we do something else with number 6?
We copy they were extra, and they will go in the G hardware CTV.
Copy. All 4 syringes going to Veggie Hardware CTV.
And Chris, while I have you, I have three answers for you if you're ready to copy.
Yes, I'm ready to copy.
Your question for step 6.06, the wastewater bags will go into the Ohalo CTB, and then the wastewater syringe will go into the trash.
Copy. Sorry, so that's wastewater bag serial number 6. Is that the one that goes into Ohalo, or is that... sorry, let me just double-check my stow track here.
That's Aquarium, Chris. Serial number 6.
Copy. And which wastewater syringe was it that we were referring to?
These are the extra wastewater syringes you called down, if that rings a bell.
So, let's see. I think I'm just trying to look at the things I've got set out here. I think I had a hardware bag that had wastewater some wastewater bags and wastewater syringes in it. And I just wanted to confirm. I think that was all. I just wanted to confirm the contents of that. That those were all expected. I think.
Yeah, these wastewater bags and syringes were not expected. So we're going to just divvy them up where the water bags will go in the Ohalo CTB and then those syringes into the trash.
Okay, copy. So the empty wastewater bags from here will go into the Ohalo CTB and then the syringes will go into the trash. Copy that. Okay, and I think I misheard you on the last one. I also have an ESD bag that contains wastewater bag serial number 6. So that one looks like it has been... it has remnants of water in it, so that one looks like it's been used. Is that one also going in the Ohalo bag?
Stay firm.
Okay, copy. Oh, thank you. And do you need serial numbers for those?
Yes, if you don't mind giving them to us. We also have 2 more answers for us, but we can give them to you now or later.
Copy. Let me close out these steps, and then I'll come back to you, and I will put the serial numbers down in SnowTrack.
We copy. Thanks.
Huntsville, Chris on 2. I'm ready for additional answers.
All right. The second answer we have is in step 6.16. You mentioned a bubble bag with CO2 vent valves. You can trash those.
Copy. I will trash both of the bubble bags with CO2 vent valves.
Affirm both of them. And then in step 6.07, the fiber optics wand and cleaner can also be trashed.
Okay. Yep. Trashing the fiber optic wand and cleaner.
And in step 4.08 from the harvest kit, those Prozen wipes will go to your veggie CTB. And then the lens cloth, actuator handle, and washcloth will go to the Ohalo CTB.
Copy that. That is there. Do you want those in like an outer Ziploc bag or for organization, or how would you like that?
Those 3 items should go into the harvest kit bag and then into that CTB.
Okay. So the washcloth, the lens cloth, and the actuator handle should stay in the harvest bag and go into the Ohalo CTB, and then the Prozen wipes to the veggie CTB. Is that correct?
Hey, Fern, that's a good readback.
Copy. And then there were those 2 additional vent valves that I found in a Ziploc. Are those also trashed? Are you guys still working that?
You stole our final answer for you. Yes, those will go into the trash. And we think those are all your questions, but if you found a hole in our answers, we are ready to give you an answer. So just ask again or tell us to get digging.
I'm sure I'll have a couple more, but thanks for tracking all that stuff down. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. We're standing by for any more. Our stowage is having the time of our life.
Glad I could make it an exciting day. Still. On to for a quick stow track question. Just for the items that that weren't found or something different happened, I've been putting in crew comments, but do you still want me to complete those steps in stow track? I just don't want them to, track that something got moved somewhere else when that item wasn't found or didn't exist.
Crew notes are good with us. You go to press.
Copy. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll walk on to for hatch seals.
Go ahead on to you, Jessica.
On step 2.9, to gently pull the adjacent half seal and then the replacement seal segment away and then move them back toward it. But it's really difficult to get any purchase. Like, there's nowhere to really grab on the segment, on the adjacent segment. It's possible to get a little bit of purchase in the replacement segment because there's like a cutaway on that's close to the end, so you can kind of get your finger under there. But I'm not really understanding how to be able to get a good enough grip on the adjacent segment, especially with only the four most distal screws loosened to enable, you know, kind of pulling that up. Like, I feel like I would have to like lever something from underneath it in order to get it to move up at all. When I say up, I mean off of the surface.
Okay, yeah, that question makes sense. Give us a couple minutes to think on it. We'll get you an answer real quick.
Spill Chris on 2 for StoTrack 7.07.
Ruby for 7.07.
Yeah, in the past CQB, I found one Ziploc that contained four ProSan wipes and then a separate Ziploc that just contains one ProSan wipe. Do you want all of those to go into the 1.0 Veggie CQD?
Okay, firm.
Copy that, and I'll note down the serial numbers.
We copy all. Thanks, Chris. Very lucky, Houston on 2 for Jessica.
Thanks.
Okay, so best efforts, what we're going to go for here. Understand figure 7-year procedure may make it look like you can make more progress than you can in actuality. Really what we're looking for is that there's no deformation between the adjacent hatch seal segments and the ones we're installing. So if we can get that no deformation point, then we're happy.
Okay, yeah, I understand the intent of kind of moving them back and forth so that those ends are basically flush with the adjacent seals. And it looks like right now on one side, the replacement seal is definitely, like, the ends are a little bit higher than the adjacent one. The other end, the forward end, looks better, but still a little bit, like, you can see that it's slightly above. But I wonder if that's also because there are a lot more fasteners that are loosened on the replacement one. You know, we still have four fasteners that aren't tightened at all. Or eight fasteners that aren't tightened at all. So I'm wondering if just tightening those fasteners is going to change that.
And Jessica, when you say that one side is a little bit higher, do you mean that it's protruding more from the bulkhead?
Yeah, I mean, like, if you look at the interlocking segment, then on the replacement piece, the seal itself sits a little bit higher, so they're not completely flush with each other at the intersections. And that makes sense, obviously, if we're putting this on now. But I can't seem to get any purchase on the adjacent segments. I don't think that I would be able to without actually, like, you know, loosening all of those, making the entire thing pretty loose, and then being able to, like, lift it away and then putting it back, and then understand that's not the intent of the procedure.
Okay, that's helpful. So I think we're in a good config now, so we can just continue on and agree with your statement that once we do fasten down those fasteners, that should take care of the little slight raise that you're seeing. And, of course, driving home that point that it's the deformation we're concerned about, we're not actually closing any hatches here, right? So I just want to make sure that we're in the best config.
Yeah, totally understand. No hatch here to close. So I will tighten those up, and then, you know, I'll take pictures, of course, as well, and I think you'll be able to see that easily with a macro lens if you want to decide that anything should be done there.
That sounds great, Jessica. Thanks for your help.
No problem. Thank you.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for a question on 7.11 and 7.12.
Worthy for 7.11 and 7.12.
Yeah, so 7.11 and 7.12 have me trashing this 9/16 hex wrench that we've been using for plant tab disassembly, as well as a one inch sort of ratcheting combination wrench. And I was just wondering, I mean, these seem like good, useful tools. I was wondering if we wanted to, maybe Houston or so was interested in saving these in our spare tools, or whether we really do want to trash these.
Chris, if you think this of use, then you can temp stow it, and we'll give us time here on the ground to evaluate it.
Okay, yeah, I'll temp stow them for the moment. Thanks.
Munich Sophie M2 for CDMI.
And this is Munich. Go ahead, Sophie. Good to work with you today.
Thank you. Likewise. I just wanted to have your go on step 4.1.
And this is affirmative. You are go for call CC. Go 4.1. The redundant power is in good configuration.
Appeal. Getting from Sophie, all LEDs are in correct configuration.
Munich copies. Thank you. So that's it at the moment. So talk to you after your midday meal again.
See you later.
Hertzville, Chris on 2 for SoTrack 7.15.
With you for 7.15.
I know the answer for these, but I just wanted to double check. So the O-rings bag, it's an O-rings quantity 50 that says do not trash on it, but that is in fact being trashed. And then the other Ziploc says plant half broken cuties for return, but that is also being trashed. Just wanted to double check.
Paper and trash them all.
Copy that. And then I wasn't able to find a Ziploc bag matching the description of 7.14 in this CTV. And I just wanted to check on that. And then I think there's some items that I have that were not on the list also in here.
We copy, not able to find that. The Ziploc bag in 7.14, no worries, you can press. And then for all the extra items you find, the list you left in the crew note will be sufficient.
Okay, so I have, the remaining items in that CTV, I have Ziploc bag with two microbial swabs in it. Microbial swab, serial number 122, serial number 121. Ziploc bag with like a microfiber cloth labeled plant habitat cleaning. A Ziploc bag with wastewater bag, serial number 0119. And a bubble bag that's called labeled 9/64 Allen wrench that does appear to have an Allen wrench in it.
We copy all, and we'll need a minute to check on all of those locations. Thank you, though.
Copy that. Thank you.
And Aaron, welcome on to.
With you on to, Jessica.
I'm all finished here. As I was mentioning earlier, the seals are definitely a replacement seal, especially on the aft end. They are a little bit further away from the surface. They're not completely flush with the adjacent seal. I think we said that that's going to be okay for the purposes of this for now, but I did take pictures that you can easily see that in if we want to come back and look at this later. And then just for my clarification, so you were saying, and obviously we don't have a hatch that we close here, but you guys were worried about the deformation of what exactly?
Checking.
Let's build Chris on 2. I'm going to take a pause here on this audit task, but I just wanted to report that the Veggie hardware CTV, it's 1.04164, it is already pretty overfull. I'd say it's probably around 120% full. It's kind of bulging quite a bit, or maybe 110% full. But I know that there are, in additional steps, there's more stowage that goes in that bag, and I just wanted to report that because I think we may not want to overstuff it, especially since it has a bunch of water bags in it.
And Jessica, Houston's back with you on 2. So what we're looking for is a few words on any deformation of the seal segment, specifically what we don't want to see is any metal deformation. What we need, I guess, in the end state is for the metal of each segment to align properly and not be deformed.
Are you talking about the metal on the replacement segment itself or the adjacent segment, like the segment, the piece that holds the seals in?
Stand by one. I got one additional thing.
Chris Hempel's with you on 2. We copy your last. If you want the answers to your last question, we have them, but I can meet you on Instagram 3 or 4 to give them to you.
And Jessica, Houston's back with you on 2. Tell you what, we've already eaten into your midday meal quite a bit. We'll just take the SSC number for those photos. We'll expedite them. We'll look at them, and then we'll get you additional words as needed.
I definitely do not see any deformation of metal. The metal on all of the replacement segment is definitely flush, and I don't see any deformation on the other segments as well. It's just the beads are a little bit not flush, but since there's nothing that those beads are going to be sealing, I don't think it's going to matter. I will put those photos on SSC6.
Copy SSC6. Thanks for the report, and enjoy your midday meal.
All right, thank you. One last question. There was some in the Stono, I believe it said restow to current location for the foam that this segment came out of. Is that, does it really need to go back in that 10.0 it came out of, or can it just go into our spare trash foam stash?
We can trash that.
Okay, copy. Thanks. Phoenix, Sophie, and 2 for CDMI.
And here we go again, Sophie. Go in step 3.1.
Copy, goes in step 3.1. Meaning from Sophie in step 3.8, all of the preceding verifications have been completed and all LED nominal.
Unique copies, good news, and yeah, with that, I can confirm we have already your eye experts available here at EAC, so yeah, enjoy your tonometry.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Service station, Sophie and 2 for follow-up Signal Village.
Hey, hey there, Sophie. Houston's with you on 2. We don't have answers for the questions that you asked during Orbit 1. We're working on those. What we can tell you for the 10.0 CTV, you can move that to a location that's convenient so you can continue loading JSBs. And in the meantime, I guess just don't overload the port side of the end cone until we can give you better words on how we are going to basically put those JSBs in there to ensure that you can still remove the Shrek evaporator that's on the port side.
Okay, so thank you very much. And we were chatting about this with Chris, trying to come up with a plan that works. And so our suggestion is to remove this Shrek evaporator from port 6, temp still in PMM in lieu of, instead of the JSB that we will put into Cygnus. And then it kind of solves the problem. It's not slow track, but it will enable us to do the future steps of slow track with more efficiency.
And Sophie, that sounds like a good plan. You are go to temp stow the Shrek evaporator and PMM.
Copy all. Thank you very much.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Sophie and Chris regarding stowage.
All right, with you.
Yeah, we received a report that I guess when during the first hatch open of Cygnus, there may have been some foam that was FOD that may have come from Shrek. So when you remove Shrek from Cygnus to the PMM, just be cognizant of that and keep an eye out for any foam that liberates itself and becomes FOD.
Okay, copy. And I guess if we see that, we can also put a strap around the big piece of foam of Shrek. Yeah, we'll figure this out. Thanks for the heads up.
You're welcome, and thank you. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Sophie or Chris regarding Cygnus cargo ops. Got a request for you. Hey, Jack, see you floating by. Thank you. All right.
Yeah, I've already taken measures. Yeah. They are buried down in Cygnus.
Yep. If you don't mind, if they have not moved the Shrek evaporator from port 6, we'd like a photo of the launch configuration just to see how it held up. We got reports that there was some foam that was liberated, I guess, when we first opened the hatch, and just want to know the current state before they temp stow it in PMM. Over.
All right, photos of the configuration of Shrek and port. Houston, Chris on 2 for question, storage question.
Hey, with you on 2, Chris, and please apologize to Jack for me for walking him right into a handover, but go ahead.
Yeah, so, sorry, you wanted us to take pictures of Shrek. I just a question. Why do you guys think foam was liberated from Shrek? I mean, I think when we opened it up, we saw foam, but I think we felt that it likely came from the clamshells that the double cold bags were in.
Yeah, Yeah, we copy and understand, but we're hearing from the NG team that we might have had some phone liberation from Shrek as well. So we just wanted to make basically verify the current configuration of Shrek.
Okay, I mean, I can certainly take pictures of the sides of it that are visible. I didn't see any obvious damage or any areas of liberation, but I'm happy to take some photos.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking a few photos, Chris. Thank you.
Yep, yeah, sure thing. I mean, I think, yeah, it's kind of tricky. I think we do have to rethink a little bit of our approach here because, yeah, like, it's going to be hard to, yeah, I think pulling the truck out makes sense, but, yeah, we really have to rethink the core aggregate, I think, on some of this stuff.
Copy, thanks.
Station Huntsville, space to ground 2 for Chris and biomonitor Garmin crew note at your convenience.
Ground 2.
Okay, Chris, we saw your crew note, and first off, we are good with your plan of having one sweaty garment for exercise and one good garment for the rest of the day. In terms of, we understand also that the sweaty garment is the one that's having the bad headband signal. So our plan for that is if it's buzzing at you during exercise, go ahead and put the baby unit in night mode, so that'll at least stop the buzzing. You can use the iPad to troubleshoot, but we'll get whatever data we can from that. There's no additional swapping or anything we need from the sweaty garment.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like a great plan. Yeah, I'm hoping that just, like, letting it dry out will have fixed it. I did notice that there looked like a little bit of discoloration on some of the contacts for the headband. I did try yesterday, like, plugging in the headband from my non-sweaty garment into the sweaty one and the sweaty headband into the non-sweaty garment, and neither of those combinations gave a good signal as far as I can tell. So I don't know what the actual cause of it is, but hopefully it'll just work today. We'll see. But if not, I will just put it in night mode and exercise and then change out of that one as soon as I'm done exercising, and we'll get back to the full data set. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate all the data points.
Thanks.
This is Station Sensium 2 for a question about Elysium Risto.
Houston's with you on 2, Sophie.
A quick question. In the show notes of this Elysium Risto, I have to put this 1.0 CDB back into PMM port 4 in ZSR. Is there a more specific location in this port 4 area?
Checking.
Thank you. I prefer to ask this before I go deep into PMM.
Sophie, Houston, back with you here. So the ZSR is empty, so you're welcome to place that 1.0 CTV wherever you can in there, your discretion.
Okay, copy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Huntsville, Chris on 2 for Plant Have Audits.
With you on 2 for Plant Have Audit.
Hello. I was going to try to take some of my time to just finish this up. But as I was getting into step 8, I was looking at the things that need to go into the gathered 1.0 veggie hardware CTB, and there's unfortunately not going to be a way to get that all to fit. A lot of these water refill bags, like the one in step 8, Vessel 02, have a significant amount of water in them, so they're not small. Not one already has a bunch of water refill bags that have some volume of water in it, so I don't think they're going to fit, unfortunately. I was wondering if there's an alternate location I can put those, or how you want me to proceed.
Chris, you were reading our mind here. We have been discussing that, and we do understand that the 1.0 veggie CTB is 110% full. So our suggestion is that you have two extra CTBs for the veggie. There's 1.0 CTB 5072 at Columbus Overhead 3 Echo 1 Foxtrot 1 and 1.0 CTB 5007 at Cole Aft 1 Gulf 1. So our thoughts are any extra hardware, it's your choice how you want to split it up, but you can use those two for any overflow and just let us know what those were.
Do that. When you said 1.05072, sorry, can you read me the CTVs and locations again?
So 5072 is a half CTV. Yep, that's at Columbus Overhead 3 Echo 1 Foxtrot 1. And the other is 1.05007 at Columbus Aft 1 Golf 1.
Copy that. I'll take a look at both of those. I'm pretty sure 1.05007 is already pretty full as well, because I've been using that for the veggie stuff. But I'll see if, because I don't think it's a ton of space we have to stow, so I'll see if I can fit anything into 5072.
Sounds good. And then earlier today, there was a 4.0 that was in the plant hab area that you were trying to give you a permanent stow location to it. Our plan is just to leave that right now in plant hab, and we're going to work activity coming up in the next week or so to figure out a long-term stowage solution for it.
Yeah, copy that. Yeah, I mean, there is space in plant hab. The problem is there's two rails that stick out and also kind of like a little container, I guess. And so like a 4.0, you know, there's volume in there for a 4.0, but just not the actual, like, geometry to fit one.
And, Chris, that is the exact thing that we are talking with our team about, the rails, and seeing if we can move it and get some more space there for stowage, and that's what's going to happen in our plan, hopefully, in the next week or so.
Sounds good. Copy all.
And, Chris, final thing for you, since I have a little bit of a to-do list with you, sorry for all these things, the discoloration you've been reporting on your biomonitor sensor, if you have time, we would love some photos of those sensors so our PD team can take a look and assess them.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm happy to take a look. You can see it sort of best on the cable. I'll take a picture and send it to you, but it looks like sort of some dark spots on the contact.
Sounds great. Our teams will love those photos, so we appreciate the extra work.
Sounds good. Houston Airlock, welcome aboard Node 1 and Airlock Cams, if you're interested.
And Chris, with you on, too.
Houston Airlock, you guys are welcome aboard Node 1 camera and Airlock camera, if you're interested in the resize.
Sounds good. We'll enable those downlinks down to Houston so that we can follow you, or Jack, I should say, during that activity. Thank you.
Station Huntsville, space to ground 2-4, Jessica and DNA Nano Stowage Node Deltas at your convenience.
Huntsville Station on 2-4, Stowage.
Okay, Jessica, and you have the Stowage Node up from your setup. I have just a couple small deltas for you.
I've got it up.
Okay, so the first one, lines 5 and 6, that is the KU band power supply and the UOP power cable. Those will not be restowed at the PMM at the end of the activity. They will be re-put back into that 1.0 CTV.
Copy.
And then line 11, the PS28 junction box, is not temp stowed per an earlier activity. Instead, it is temp stowed at lab port deck 3.
Okay, I think that's the one Jack left for me. He told me where it was. Thanks.
Sounds good. And we have a big LOS coming up here, but you're go to proceed through these, and we'll meet you on the other side, and these ops will be on space to ground 3.
Okay, copy. I'll see you on the other side of the LOS on 3. Thank you.
Station Houston on space to ground 2-4, Sophie, regarding Cygnus Cargo ops at your convenience.
Sophie, moving on 2, ready to copy.
It's Sophie. So we got an hour and a half scheduled for Cygnus Cargo ops later today, beginning at 1700. We don't think that's going to be enough time, and we also don't have a good choreography plan for completing the activities that we had assigned for you today. So we're going to offer up, if you think it's going to take more than an hour and 15 minutes, we have you can get started on your Friday plan, and I can give you the activities we'd like for you to accomplish today when you're ready to copy, and if you're willing to do that.
Yeah, sure. I'm ready to copy.
Okay, so on Friday's plan, at it looks like 08, an IFM hatch activity in the morning. At 08:30, you have a go to for that activity, and then if you also have time, if you go over to Chris's timeline. He's got an IFM hatch latch audit at 15:20. We don't need you to complete the full audit, whatever you're able to accomplish in the time allocated today. You're welcome to do part of that audit.
Copy. Chris, timeline 15:20, IFM hatch latch audit.
Yep, and if you would like to do that audit today, we do have one delta for the execution note when you're ready to copy.
Ready to copy the delta.
Sorry, standby one.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Sophie and hatch-latch audit. In step 5 of the execute note, you're basically checking if any hatch was open and in the latch position. We also want to know there's the little ratchet paw, that's what moves to make the handle go into the latch and unlatch position. We just want to know if that paw is loose, and that may be what's shaking loose and causing it to be in the wrong config. So that's the delta. It's going to be on a PPCR for tomorrow, but it's just not there yet.
Okay, I understand. I'll check the ratchet loose or not loose, and I'll check all of the hatch indicators.
All right, Sophie, that's all. So just let us know if you want to proceed with that plan, and you are go to proceed.
I will proceed with that plan.
Thank you.
Houston Airlock on 2.
With you on 2, Jack.
Working on step 3.4, installing hovers on the upper arms of 3005. The stow note says to use a cover for arm-legged boot, but that doesn't appear to fit on the upper arm section. Am I missing something here? Is there a technique that works?
Checking. Airlock Houston on Space Ground 2-4, Jack, regarding step 3.4, our understanding was that the they would fit. We need a few minutes to do a little bit of research on our end, and we'll get back to you shortly.
Okay, copy. Thank you very much.
And Jack, Houston again, since we'll need a few minutes, you're welcome to skip ahead and continue with this activity, and we'll come back up to you when we have a good answer.
You kindly.
Airlock Houston for Jack, and a quick request and forward plan for the protective covers.
Airlock.
So we believe that the arm leg boot protective covers that you collected in step 1.2 for stow note line 6 should fit the upper arm. The situation we may find ourselves in at the moment, since you said it's too small, is that it may be a risk disconnect cover that you're trying to place on the arm. So what we'd like for you to do is take that cover, show it to us on the video. All right, thank you. Checking. Jack, it looks like you grabbed the correct one, but obviously it doesn't fit. We need a little more time to figure out a forward plan here on the ground. Thank you.
Okay, cool. We'll be standing by. Thanks. And airlock on 2.
Houston's with you on 2, Jack.
I'm in step 2. Again, at DSI, toe cap out of boot 263, and I'm getting ready to put it into boot 265, but there's already a set of PSIs in these do you want me to remove the PSIs that are in 265 and put PSIs from 263 in there, or do you think that these are sufficient?
Checking. And Jack, I guess since we don't know what size is in there, we'd like for you to just go ahead and swap them, and we'll get you a stowage location here shortly.
Okay, thanks.
Airlock Houston on 2 for Jack with request.
Go for airlock.
Yep, we'd like to for you to report any identifiers on the BSIs that you removed from the boots, and if there is any, and then you're welcome to stow those BSIs in mesh bag 2.
I got a BSI serial number 224 for the right boot, size 03 large, and the toe cap is serial number 050, and it says size 01.
All right, I got serial number 224 for the right BSI. It's 03 large, and then for the toe cover, I got size 01, and leave 050 for the serial number.
Good read back. On the left side, the BSI serial number 193, size 01 small. And the left toe cap assembly is serial number 079, size 01.
All right, we copy all. And those should go into mesh bag 2.
Okay,
a mesh bag?
Mesh bag number two.
Mesh bag number two. Stand there, lock on two for BSI size again.
Houston's with you on two, Jack.
Doesn't make a lot of sense to me that the two BSIs that I read to you, one was a large and one was a small. So I'm concerned that in the process of pulling them out of the old boots and putting them into the new boots, I may not have done that on both. So can you tell me, am I supposed to be putting larges or smalls into the 263 boots? Sorry, the 265 boots that are going to end up on this suit. I guess it's also possible that someone has a small left and a large right foot BSI. That seems unlikely.
Checking. Airlock Houston on two for Jack. So we don't know how you ended up with two different sizes for the BSIs that ended up in that mesh bag, but if you reference figure one at the bottom of your procedure here, you should have BSI 03 large for both of your boots, so you won't have boots of different sizes there.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. So let me reread to you the... I think what happened in the back and forth there about adding those in the boots that I just didn't swap out the right boot one. So I'm going to stow in the mesh bag the BSI. Let me read the serial numbers to you again so you have the right ones. So the left BSI is serial number 193. It's size 01 small. And that left toe cap is serial number 079. And that's size 01. And on the right boot, the BSI is serial number 194. The size is 01 small. And the toe cap is serial number 079. And that's size 01.
And we copy the updated BSI serial number was 194, size small.
Yeah, that makes more sense here.
Yep, and we concur.
Houston Airlock. On two for restow plan. The 2.0 CTV EVA SpaceX 34 return serial number 4058 is full and will not be able to accommodate two boots and two arms. Looking for alternate stowage plan.
All right, checking. Station Houston on Space and Ground 2 for any available USOS crew. No response required. Just want to let you know that for high beta, we are performing a yaw bias maneuver of approximately 4 degrees. It should take about 35 minutes.
Station, copies.
Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Sophie at your convenience.
Sophie's with you on 2.
Hey, Sophie, I wanted to walk you through the hatch-latch audit procedure. It's kind of a complicated execute node, a bunch of questions, so I thought it'd be easier if I just explained to you the goals of what we're doing. So if you just want to give me a call back before you do any of those, and then I can walk through it.
Okay, great idea. Thank you very much for the help. I appreciate it. Right now I'm still working on the node 1 aft hatch, and I'll let you know as soon as I'm done. The initial schedule was to do 15 minutes on this hatch, but it takes quite a longer time. But I'll let you know when I'm done.
All right, we copy you. That one does get a little dirty, so take all the time you need. Thank you.
Yeah, that's so true. Thanks.
Hello, Houston, for Jack with forward plan for the arm covers. I also have a plan for stowing the spare arms, and so I don't know if you have something to write down notes with, but that might be good.
Houston Airlock, ready to copy, sir.
All right, so we'll start with the CTV. Understand that the current one that we had in the stow note is full. So we'd like for you to grab an empty 2.0 CTV and label it SpaceX 34 R02, so Romeo 02. 021, sorry, Romeo 021, and place it next to the other 2.0 CTV. Let us know if there's not enough room for that. We'll find a different location for you.
All right, a new 2.0 labeled SpaceX 34 R021, and you want that stowed in node 1 overhead 2 next to the other 2.0. I mean, we're running out of space everywhere, so I'll probably make that work.
Appreciate that. And then for the arm covers that wouldn't fit, so we don't usually leave the arms uncovered, and so what we would like for you to do is install lower arms, serial numbers 579 and 580 onto those empty shoulders, and those are located in 1.0 CTB, serial number 1343, labeled EMU lower arm, and that's located in the MO bag in the airlock, MO2 bag in the airlock.
All right, lower arms 579, 580, and I'm going to put them on to 3005, and I'm going to find those arms in a 1.0, 1343 in the M02 bag that's overhead in the airlock. And I assume 579 on the left and 580 on the right, or do you have a preference?
Checking. And I've just been informed that is correct, 579 on the left, 580 on the right. And by the way, those arms in that 1.0 CTV will have covers on the upper and lower arms, and you can put any of those spare covers in basically in the mesh bag on line 6 of your stonet. And the final configuration should just be the wrists with covers on them.
Okay, and all that makes sense to me, and I think the last piece of that I'm waiting on is the BSIs that I pulled out of 263. Out of boots 263, where are those BSIs going?
Checking. And you can place those BSIs in mesh bag 2. We have a stow activity to clean up the airlock at a later date, but you can just leave that mesh bag airlock deployed.
Okay, so two BSIs in their crow caps in a mesh bag with mesh bag 2 to be stowed at a later date.
Affirmative.
This is Station 2 for hatch seat.
Hey, Sophie Kent, thanks for calling us back. I wanted to give you a big picture of the task. So first of all, the reason we're doing this is we found a few hatches out of config on station. And we're, first of all, making sure we want to make sure that all of them are in a good, safe config for emergency closure. That's the number one priority. The second priority is just trying to see if we can learn what we think may be causing them to get out of config. And so first of all, when you go to each open hatch, this is the config we expect it to be in. So obviously the hatch that we expect it to be open. The indicator, which is the little piece that's in the middle of the window where it has the little color bands and the words to tell you if it's latched, unlatched, test. We expect that indicator to be all the way in unlatch. We then expect the handle to be stowed. And we expect the ratchet pawl, that's on the kind of ratchet in the on the right side of the hatch that the hatch handle engages, that pawl should be in the latch config. So that way in emergency when you close it, you're ready to engage it and start latching it. And so what we'd like to know is when you go to each hatch, give us a call and let us know, yep, all of those are true, or if it's not true, let us know exactly what the config is. For example, if the hatch had somehow gotten to the middle between unlatch and latch, let us know that. If the hatch handle or the pawl was in a different config. Because what we're trying to do is figure out what could be causing these hatches to get into a bad configuration. I'll pause here and see if you have any questions.
Okay, so just to rephrase this, I will check the hatch indicator. This little red arrow is in unmatched position. I will check all handles stowed, properly stowed, and ratchet in matched position on both sides of the hatch. And then I report after each hatch to you.
That's perfect. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And also, just a question, are you able to read the crew notes now, or?
Yes, we have good statuses now from on board.
Copy, so you saw my crew note about PMM 144 Bay. That was 100% full.
Yes, we got that. Thanks for the information. Sorry that was the case, but we got the call. Thank you.
No worries. I mean, the activity was complete, so that's what mattered, and now you know it's full. All right. I'll. So you won't need to report after each hatch?
Yes, if you could just give us a quick call, each one.
Or each module.
If you just give us a quick call on each one, that would help us, just so we keep track, because I know you probably won't complete them all today.
Each hatch, let's do it.
Thank you.
Okay, so to start with a node 1 forward, correct configuration.
Copy, good config.
And I'll do all the node 1 first, and I'll come back to the lab after.
Sounds good.
This is from Sophie, node 1 deck, good config.
Copy, good config.
This is from Sophie, node 1 starboard, good config.
Copy, node 1 starboard, good config.
This is from Sophie, node 1 port, good config.
Copy, node 1 port, good config.
This is from Sophie, node 1 aft, good config.
Copy, node 1 aft, good config.
This is from Sophie for lab aft. The only not nominal thing was the ratchet on the domed side was in unmatched, so I did put it back on latch position.
Copy, the ratchet on the dome side was unlatched, but you fixed it in the latch position. Thank you.
This is from Sophie. Lab forward, a good nominal configuration.
Copy, lab forward, good config.
The only thing that is different in lab forward compared to lab aft is that there is no cover in between the hatch. I can show you on the camera. I'm just going to reorient this. Give me a second.
Copy, no cover in between. Give us a second to get the video here in Picker 1. We see you on video now, and we'll follow you to that hatch.
So, of course, not all of them have covers here, just to protect the inner hardware. But, yeah, you don't need to report this for you as well, because this lab aft has some, and lab forward does not. Node 1 forward does not. So, yeah, and sometimes there are some connections and cables inside. Just wanted to report that.
Okay, Sophie, we appreciate that report, and if you could just keep that coming, we'd like to know which hatches do not have covers.
Okay, well, so now I'll move to node, let me see, node 2.
Copy, thanks.
No, Houston from Sophie, node 2 aft, good config, no cover.
Copy, node 2 aft, good config, no cover.
Houston from Sophie, node 2 starboard, good config. And no cover as well, but that's normal, that's expected for node 2 for this one.
Copy, node 2 starboard, good config, and expect a no cover. Thank you.
Node 2 overhead, good config.
Copy, node 2 overhead, good config.
Node 2 port nominal, although there was this hatch window cover that was on the hatch window, which doesn't seem to make sense because it's only to protect when there is no module outside of it. So this, I think, should not be on this window.
And Sophie, copy, good config. We see the cover. We believe that there's supposed to be a new and improved cover for all hatches, and we're verifying that that is the correct cover for node 2 forward. We'll just put it back in place until we can tell you otherwise. Yeah, so basically, we expect this to be covered. It's just we expected a different cover.
Wait, so node 2 forward? Is expected to be covered?
Hey, Sophie, so we actually flew, they're called Hyzot covers. They're basically a see-through plastic, I don't know exactly what it's made of, cover that's on all the windows, just to make sure you can't break the window. I don't think we flew enough for every hatch, so if it doesn't have that Hyzot cover, then it has the one you're holding in your hand that we used to use on more. We just don't remember it forward if we put a Hyzot cover, or if that's why we had that one. We're researching that now. Can you tell if there's I assume you can look at other hatches and find what the high side cover looks like and verify if the Ford has that or not.
I'll check this, and it makes sense for me because this type of cover is also the one protecting the wharf, so I see what it looks like, and I'll check. But I was talking of ports, the one going to Jim, so no two ports. So let me go check if it has the ISAC cover or not.
Okay, I copy. It's no two ports that had the makeshift cover. Got it.
Yep. And usually this type of cover is used for after the departure of a docked vehicle, like no two ports, for example, or after the departure of a vehicle, just to protect the light entering into the module.
Yep, Sophie, we copy. So if you can just look, what our expectation now is that all the hatches have the Hi-Zod cover protecting the actual window itself. I understand you use that for more darkness, blocking out the light for hatches that go to space.
That's correct understanding. So I'll check if Note 2 Forward has one like this or not. If it does not, I will put it on Note 2 Forward unless Note 2 Port doesn't have a nice eye cover, but I'll let you know.
Station, you sound Space Ground 2 for Sophie and Hi-Zod covers.
The
answer? Hey, we were able to do our research, and we didn't have enough Hi-Zod covers for all the hatches, so there's two of them that should have these temporary covers just because we don't have the Hi-Zod cover, and that's no two port. So we do expect this cover in your hand to be on no two port just because we didn't have the Hi-Zod, and then node one zenith is the other one. So let us know if you see any other hatches missing the Hi-Zod cover.
Okay, I understand. No two port, node one zenith. I did not check node one zenith because it's going to space right now. So,
and I'm hearing the cover is actually on the inside the hatch side, so you wouldn't see it anyway. It's to protect it when we're in the C1 node.
Yes, but it's just full of... I understand this, but it's just full of CCB protecting the light on node one overhead, so I'll take a look and I'll let you know.
Thank you.
Station in Houston on Space Ground 2 for any available crew. Last call from TWD before we begin a Yetive fill activity.
Houston, we're filling up drink bags. We'll be back with you in a minute or two. Let you know if we're ready to take it back.
Copy. Thank you, Jack.
So, Sophie, M2, that's true. Note 2 port did not have an ISAC cover, so I replaced this cover, homemade, kind of, on the hatch window to protect it.
Copy, Sophie. You put the temp cover on Note 2 port. Thank you.
Houston Station, we're good with water. You're go for PWDS.
Copy. Thank you, Jack.
Alright, nominal config.
Good. And Sophie, the start of that call was cut off. If you could repeat your last.
Gem starboard, nominal config.
And Houston copies, Gem starboard, nominal config.
Yep, good read back. Question from Sophie. JPM, so Gem overhead as well as JLP deck, nominal config.
Copy Gem overhead and JLP deck, nominal config.
Good read back. Houston from Sophie, Columbus Port, good config.
Houston copies, Columbus Port, good config.
Houston from Sophie, airlock starboard, leading to the crew lock, good config.
And Houston copies, airlock starboard, good config.
Houston from Sophie, node 3 starboard, good config.
Copy, node 3 starboard, good config.
Houston from Sophie, node 3 forward, correct configuration.
Houston copies, node 3 forward, good config.
But unfortunately, PMM aft, so the one inside PMM, the latch indicator was on latch position, so this is the mind-blowing thing that we, in the crew, no one understands how this can happen.
And Sophie, just to confirm, so the hatch was basically cycled all the way to the latch position and the indicator points at latched? Is that correct?
That's exactly correct understanding. So I did put it back in the nominal config, then I had to cycle it back to the unlatched position and make sure that the ratchet was left in latch both sides.
Can you tell if the...
And, of course, the handle stowed.
Can you tell, does that ratchet seem looser than other ones? Is it possible that it's somehow easy to cycle itself by just bumping it and eventually make a complete circle to latch it? Or do you have any guesses on what could cause the...
So I can tell you for sure, and everyone is on the same page as me here, it is absolutely impossible that it happens by chance.
Yeah.
Or just on its own, because it was loose. Like, the ratchet was not loose, everything was just nominal. It has not happened by chance.
Okay, excellent. Well, we appreciate that data. That's why we're doing this, to define one of these. And I'm glad now we've got all the hatches in good shape.
And the last one was node 3 deck going to cupola, was in good config as well.
Thank you very much.
And so with that, I think, but please double check, but I think I went through all the hatches.
And we concur, you covered all the hatches. Thank you for the good work, Sophie.
You're very welcome, and woohoo, now they're all in the config. Yay.
Yep, we're happy about that, too.
I can see all the cheering happening in among all the safety people around in the very room.
I'm sure they're happy.
So station checks on 2 for MSU laptop shells or shell swap out.
Jack, with you for the shell swap.
We're with you on 2.
Just want to make sure I got the big picture here. I've got the new laptop out. I'm taking a bunch of hardware off of it, and I'm taking the hardware out of the old MSU laptop, putting it into the new shell, and then we're going to reboot, and that's kind of the big picture of what's going on here.
You got it, Jack.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hill Stone Station on 240MJ for the transfer.
Yep. Andre, this is Houston with you. We're expecting serial number 1517 in step 2.3. Estimated offload time in step 3.2 is 27 minutes, and you have a go in step 3.3.
Beth, I have a yet aware. 1517, and it has approximately 4 liters of water.
And just to copy, was that 4 liters of water?
Yes.
Standby one. And Andre, please stand by. We were expecting an empty Yerevan, and we're just confirming that Moscow will be happy with 16 liters versus 20.
Okay, I'm waiting for you.
So, station radio check.
I'm still with you on 2.
Okay, Jessica's going to do a contract with you right now. Here in Jessica, 3DAQ is up here on 2. I understand Huntsville's not here, Jessica, on 2.
And Huntsville's not hearing Jessica on 2.
I'm still station on 2.
And we hear you on 2.
I think that's really strange. I was on Vox, and it was breaking Vox, and Jack was hearing me in the ATU, but for some reason you were not hearing me in Vox, but now you are in Push to Talk. Anyway, I have wrapped up all the samples on the controls, so I'm looking for your go in 3.3 to connect the Ethernet cable.
Stand by. We're checking. And Jessica, you are go in step 3.3.
Yep.
Cell station Jack on 2, looking for a go in step 5.2 to power up the new MSG laptop.
You are go.
Huntsville station on 2.
We're with you on 2.
Yeah, it says in step 3.5 to refer to the Ninja document for the IP address and password, but under what setting? There's a specific IP address and password. You mean specific to SOC10? Is that what I'm going to look for in the Ninja document?
And Jessica, it is the device, so it's the spectrophotometer IP address.
Okay, copy. I'll look for that.
And Jessica, our friends in Houston are saying that the reason we were having problems with the Vox headset is that the headset control unit may be in dual mode, and that's why we weren't hearing you on Space to Ground 2.
It was not in dual mode. It was in Vox. It was in the same config that I was using when I was talking to Raquel.
Okay, we copy. We'll pass that back.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Andre.
And it was definitely picking me up because they could hear me on the other ATUs.
We copy, and our teams are looking into it.
Go ahead, Houston.
Hey, Andre, we're going to use this the Yetive that you reported, 1517, but we need to update some ground commanding here in Houston before we begin, before we're ready. So give us about 5 minutes, and I'll call you when we're ready for the fill.
Okay, I will be here in 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Station on still Space to Ground 2 for Jessica. We do have KU back, and Raquel is now available on Space to Ground 4. And for these data transfers, we'd like the No-2 camera positioned for the SSC screen.
Okay, copy. And for the IP address, when I type it in, should I be putting the periods as well? I'm assuming yes.
That's correct.
Okay, I'll meet Raquel back on 4.
Until Station Jack on 2 for troubleshooting new MSG laptop.
We're with you on 2, but it's a handover. And Jack Huntsville's back with you on 2. We ran into a handover.
A person or brick wall, pretty normal for me. On booting up this MSG, new MSG laptop, it looks like it's a normal sequence for the first minute or so. You get almost to the main screen, and then the laptop just loses power. Like, it's plugged in, power stream's on, has a white light when I first plug it in, and then after that minute or so, that white LED indicating good power to the laptop goes away.
Jack, we compy. Do you see anything with the, were you able to get to anywhere to if the battery is low when you started? We're wondering if this just needs to maybe charge for a little bit before booting it up.
I mean, that could certainly be the case, but even if the battery wasn't charged, I still should be seeing a white LED on the back of the laptop with the power cord installed, or do you think not?
Okay, copy. So you're not even seeing the white LED charging in the back. Let us talk about that. Give us a minute.
Yeah, and just to be super clear, I see it for about a minute when I first plug it in while it's powering up, and then laptop powers off and that white light goes away.
We copy, and we're chatting it. Jack Huntsville's back with you. Our plan is to go ahead and turn it off and see if it just needs some time. It'll charge itself a little bit more, and then we will work a plan to turn it back on later, if that works for you.
Okay. Obviously, I'm happy with that. The current configuration is it's plugged in with the power stream on, and there's no white light. I guess it's probably better if I turn off the upstream power, re-plug it in, and get at least the white light in the back showing up so it's charging a little bit, you think?
And, Jack, we do like that plan of just turning it all down and then powering it back up the whole power chain.
Okay, and now I've got a good white power light, and the LEDs on the internet are working as well. So I'll just leave it like this until you guys want to try it again.
Great news. We like hearing that there's a white light now. And I do have one stowage delta for you when you're ready to copy.
Already.
Line 5, it says to stow the old shell at node 1, deck 4, delta. That should be delta 1.
Delta 1 for the old shell. And also, I don't think it says where to put hardware that came out of the new shell. Where do you guys want that?
And what specifically came out of the old shell?
I got a battery and the 2 hard drives that came out of the new shell.
And Jack, those are lines 2 through 4 of your stowage note.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Andre and Yetive Phil.
Houston Station on 2 for Andre for the transfer.
Hey, Andre, Houston's with you on 2. So we would like for you to proceed with Yetive serial number 1517. Estimated offload time is now 21 minutes, and you have a go in step 3.3.
All right, 21 minutes. Thanks.
You're welcome. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Andre. You have a go for Yedda Bay Field teardown activity in step 6.1.
Excuse me, repeat it, please.
Yes, so Yedda Bay Field is complete, and you have a go in step 6.1 of your teardown activity.
6.1, thank you. Houston Station on 2, the transfer house disconnected from PWD and system bypass rail back there, you say 2, the Jason Station.
Thanks, Andre.
Station Houston on space to ground 2 for all crew, no response required, PWD is go for use.
Happy go for use, thank you.
You're welcome, have a good evening.
A good rest of your day, thanks.
So Station Jackson 2 for Cold Atom Lab, so which question?
With you on 2?
Yeah, at the end of the Cold Atom Lab, I left the TS-28 junction box out for the DNA experiment this afternoon, but there was a cable attached to it, express rack power cable. I'm looking for a storage location.
Copy, checking. And Jackson, so with you on 2, can we get a serial number, please?
Will the barcode suffice?
That will suffice.
All right, I've got a 24-inch express rack power cable. The barcode is, there's 6 zeros, and then the number is 57 Mike.
Copy, 24-inch ending in 57 Mike. We'll take a look and get back to you. And Jack, I have that location when you're ready to
copy. Thank you. And
see
the light. I'm ready.
Lab, port 2, Lima 2.
Port 2, Lima 2. Thank you. Huntsville, Chris on 2 with a couple things. First thing, I was able to get those syringes into the nominal bag. Limits 2.01 or 1.01462. So that's all set. And then second question was, I was kind of guessing that those fasteners for the rails in Plant Hab were the same Plant Hab hex wrench size, I think it's 9/16, but they're actually a little bit bigger. Do you guys happen to know the fastener size? I can just grab some and try a couple, but I'm assuming I can just take them off that they're captive fasteners, but wanted to double check.
Stand by, Chris. I just need another minute to get you those steps.
Yeah, no rush on it at all. I'm also happy to do it tomorrow, so it's not an urgent thing.
And Chris, Huntsville's back with you. We don't have those sizes, but we will track and answer and hopefully get it to you tomorrow.
Yeah, that sounds great to me. Yeah, I think that's totally fine. I mean, it looks straightforward enough, but I figured better safe than sorry. Check, make sure everything's all good.
Sounds good to us. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you very much.